At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are going to be talking about busts slash overrated players. So we're going to talk about players who are going too early in drafts, and in most instances, based on their ADP, you should avoid. Let's go!
Six. Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And you can also find the podcast or video version, whichever you're not listening to, on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify at Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball. And today, like we said at the top of the show, guys, we're going through some busts. That will be the title of this video and podcast. But really, these are just players that I think are overrated when it comes to specifically their rankings on Yahoo, which kind of trickles down into the psyche of fantasy hoops drafters. Even if they're drafting on other platforms, it kind of, in my opinion, is the site that kind of, I don't know, dictates where we see them. I know there's ADPs and differences on different sites. I'm not going to be talking about that. Website that has horrible rankings, and if you do draft over there, if you go off the Yahoo rankings, you'll do a lot better than if you go off those rankings there. So do with this list what you will. These are just players that I think are going too early. There are good players on this list. By the nature of a bust list, if I gave you someone who was ranked at 110, well, it's not that big of a deal if they suck, because you just drop them and you grab someone else. So the players on this list are good. They are good players, so it just because I have them on here doesn't mean that I don't think that they will continue to be good. It just means that I think the price you are paying for them at their draft position, at their ranked position, is too high. And I think that for the most part, and this is probably the thing I want to get across the most, I think that where you're drafting these players is much closer to their ceiling than it is to their floor. And I think when you draft players close to their ceiling than their floor, it leaves you open to disappointment. It leaves you open to, just falling further back. Drafting is all about getting value. Now, there are obviously instances where, you know, your team builds and all those kind of things can take shape. And I will probably draft some of these guys in some of my teams. I've drafted them some of them in some mock drafts as well in certain situations. But I think in more majority situations than not, I do believe that they're going overvalued. And it's just also, again, just to bring some awareness for some players' names that might be a bit too popular, I think, and just knocking them back a peg. So, we've got 10 names. It's top 10, but really the order is, I've tried to put it in the order where I think I'm most confident in them being busts, but we'll see how we go. Let's start at number 10, and we're going to start off with a good one. It's Scotty Barnes, who I think was on this list last year, and boy, was I wrong on Scotty Barnes last year. Absolutely, I was wrong. I did draft him in the industry pickup, mind you, and he killed it. He absolutely killed it, especially to start the season. He was on fire. The steals, the blocks, the rebounds, and the assists all jumped up. from the season prior. He was in 9 category rankings. He was the 20th ranked player. He was the 20th ranked player, and Yahoo has him ranked there once again at rank 20. So, same as last year, he's the top guy, I guess, in Toronto. However, I think there's some things that we need to be a little bit concerned about with Scotty Barnes. He went from the previous year 1.1 steals and 0.8 blocks to 1.3 steals and 1.5 blocks per game. He also went from 6.6 rebounds to 8.2 rebounds, scoring 15.3 to 19.9. He improved his three-point shooting a hell of a lot. He went from 28% to 34%. I do think that he has improved, which meant he went from 0.8 threes to 1.7 threes. Now, I do think he did get a lot better, and I love him as a player. I think, however, we need to be discounting especially those defensive stats this year. To go ahead and project him to an average 1.5 blocks a game again this season, I think is a little bit foolish. He did also, as the season wound down, his scoring dropped a little bit more, and he obviously was shut down a bit more towards the end of the season. And I think Toronto, as Jakob Poeltl has summarized for us, they're not going for the NBA championship. So there's a little bit of that risk involved for a player that you're drafting in the second round. It's not something that I'm overly thrilled about. And I don't know where I see much more improvement coming. Now, some of you might say he could score more. But when they made that trade of Pascal Siakam and who else did they send out? Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. It's basically those two out and Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett came back in. The usage rate of those players that were sent out versus those that came back in is actually, there's more usage coming back into the team. RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley put up more shots than those other two that went out. So some of you might think that they're worse players coming in, better players going out. Whilst I agree with you from a play point of view, from a numbers point of view and the usage rate point of view, it's actually worse for Scotty Barnes. So I'm skeptical about him being able to increase his volume in scoring. I do think of all the stats that are maintainable, his assist numbers have the biggest room, I think, to improve from last year. So he averaged 6.1 assists. I could see that go up to 6.5 to maybe even 7 assists per game. I think that that is going to be the main strength of his. I do think his steals are more than likely able to sustain at 1.2, 1.3. It's the blocks, and it's probably the threes and rebounds that have me a little bit more skeptical. 1.5 blocks is very tough for me to project a player who doesn't play center, a player who plays next to someone like Jakob Poeltl, and a guy who, if we are projecting to be a more dominant offensive type player, I just don't know if we can go ahead and predict him to average 1.5 blocks again when he previously, in the previous two seasons, was 0.7 and 0.8. And all of those were the same minutes. Like, his minutes were 35 minutes per game. I don't think there's room for that to grow either. So it's just the variable nature year on year about blocks that I think you have to take a bit of a discount. I would probably project him to be closer to 1.2 blocks per game than the 1.5. Within itself, I think from this ranking drops him back about 10 to 12 spots. So pushing him probably close to 30, in my opinion. Maybe he gets some more assists, but I also think 8.2 rebounds, going from 7.5 his rookie year, 6.6 to 8.2, that's been a little bit up and down. I think it might not drop away as much as the blocks do, but going back to closer to 7.5, between 7.5 and 8, a little fall away there, I would not be surprised. And the three-point shooting, 1.7, I do think he's a better three-point shooter, so I don't think it's going back to 0.8, but potentially back to 1.5. All just little things where I don't see much room for improvement. He had a great, great season. Far exceeded my expectations, and he is number 10 on this list because I do think he's a very talented player, and I do think he's the best player on Toronto. I just think that, like I said at the top of the show, I think we're drafting Scotty Barnes at his ceiling, and I have drafted him in the second round in certain mocks. If I had my time over again, I might go a different way. I think he's more of a third round player than a second round player, and even a bit of potential to fall into the fourth round when it comes to minus one value, nine cat value. I just don't think there's much room for him to get much better than this. And even with your second round, you want that ability to do so. He also is a fairly even spread type of player. No huge deficiencies in his game. So when it comes to head-to-head team building, he isn't a guy that moves up the board when it comes to minus one rankings very much. So in those types of drafts, which is a lot of where my content goes, he doesn't, whilst he doesn't get penalized, other players behind him get boosted in certain type of builds. And I think that just knocks him back a few pegs. So rank at 20, I think I'd be more comfortable drafting him if he was going sort of closer to 30. And in a lot of cases, he is still going in that second round. I personally don't think he really should be. So he kicks off the overrated players.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream. Not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
In today's podcast, we'll go to number 9, and it is Lauri Markkanen. Now, he is on this list for one major reason, and that is the fact that the Utah Jazz in the past couple of seasons have been the shutdown team of the NBA, or one of the few, but they have been consistent in doing that. They did it last year, basically shutting down their team when March came around. So, fantasy basketball playoffs, that's obviously not a good thing. He's a good player, and I think ranking him at 28, where Yahoo has him, would actually be 100% fine if it wasn't for this risk. Last year, he was actually the 13th ranked player. Now, I think in a 9 category setting, the fact that he averaged 1.4 turnovers absolutely boosts him higher than I think he should be valued. In a minus 1 setting, he actually does fit really, really nicely in a punt assist build. So, again, if it wasn't for the risk of the shutdown, I think this ranking would be fine. But it's just that risk that we've seen time and time again. He's also been someone that's floated in and out of trade rumors very, very heavily. So it would not shock me at all. In fact, I'd probably predict it to be more likely than unlikely that he does get traded. And if he does go to a Golden State Warriors or basically any other situation than Utah, his value would take a dip. He's also a guy that, you know, he gives you good scoring on decent efficiency. The threes, the rebounds are nice, but very empty assists, steals, and blocks. And there's no upside for that to get better. He basically had his best season of his career last year. He's had 2 seasons better than his ranking on Yahoo, where all of his other seasons were obviously worse when he was back in Cleveland. So at Utah, his value has been as high as it's ever been in his career. So at 27 years old, I don't think we can expect it to improve. And I think, again, you've only got downside from there. Plus, you bake into the risk of either a trade or, if he is not traded, being shut down towards the end of February and March. And I think all those things combined just make him, again, probably someone I'd rather draft in the 40s than someone who I'd rather draft in the late 20s or 30s. Just for feeling good at the start of my draft, I think there's just better options personally. So not a huge gripe with his per game ranking here, but just when I'm considering all other risks, not someone I'm wanting to draft at 28 in category leagues or points leagues in that matter. The next guy here is Miles Turner, Yahoo ranking of 46. This one comes down to the fact that, I had Miles Turner in my industry pickup league. I ended up trading him in that league because I was concerned, and I still am concerned about the minutes that he plays in Indiana. He is their starting center, and I believe he will remain that. But last year, he played 27 minutes per game, his lowest mark in the last four seasons. But even then, the year before, 29 minutes the year before. And he was in nine category leagues, 55th overall ranked player. So we're projecting him to improve this season compared to last year. And I think that 55th ranking is a bit misleading as well, because he is one of those players that boosts a lot by averaging 1.4 turnovers. And a large portion of his value comes from his 1.9 blocks. And even that is going down steadily year after year. So he's gone in the last three seasons from, where was it? Last four seasons, 3.4 blocks. Then the next year, 2.8 blocks. Then he went to 1.3. And last season, 1.9. The pace at which Indiana Pacers, funnily enough, are playing at doesn't lend itself for a player like Miles Turner to get his blocks, because they are getting up and down the court. Defense is less of a priority for them. And I think it worked, obviously, for the Pacers. They had a great season last year. And I just don't think that suits or helps a player like Miles Turner. His efficiency was really, really good last season, 52.5%. And he got his shots up still in that reduced amount of playing time. But it's just, again, it's that ceiling. We're already, by ranking him at number 46, saying he's going to be better than last year, and I just don't see it. And even last year's ranking, I think, is slightly inflated because of the blocks value, because of the low turnovers. He is not a good rebounder. He gives you next to no assists, no steals. His scoring is not that great. Like 17 points per night is whatever. The value of him being an okay free throw shooter and getting the blocks is there. And in certain builds, he does fit a need. But I think, in most cases, I would be more than happy to try and build up my free throw percentage a bit earlier, pay a bit more attention to that in this round by getting a guard or a wing, and then conceding some of that free throw percentage by getting maybe a poor free throw guy later in the draft who blocks me shots, like a Jakob Poeltl, like a Walker Kessler, one of those types of players that I can get 40 to 50 spots later. Then reach for a Miles Turner at this spot, because I think when it comes to the end of the season, he's going to be a player that I think is more of like a 60-ish kind of range player. So not someone I want to draft in my first four or five rounds in fantasy leagues because of the downside and the fact that his value is very much concentrated in one category. And this ranking suggests that he's actually going to improve based on last year, and I don't really see that happening. The next guy here is a potentially a controversial one because he's a bit of a hot name, and I go back and forth. But at number seven, I have Cam Thomas as an overrated player. I definitely think he's an overrated player when it comes to his actual NBA ability. And it's for that reason that he makes this list. He could average 27 points a game this season. He absolutely could. And I could be eating my words when it comes to, you know, after the year. He could be a great player. He could be top 50. But I think the narrative of him, okay, we're going to get this bad player, but he's our best scorer on the bad Nets team, and the team's not going anywhere, so let's just give it to Cam Thomas, okay? Let's give him the keys to the car, okay? I think that has its risks. I am still of the belief that he is not a leading scorer caliber player for a good NBA team. And obviously the Brooklyn Nets are not a good NBA team, but they're still going to have their future in mind. And if they don't want the future of their team to be Cam Thomas as their leading scorer, I don't think it pays them much value to give him the full license that he would need to be worthy of this spot in drafts. The promising thing for Cam Thomas is his free throw volume that he picked up last year. and the fact that he is becoming a more well-rounded scorer. He actually used to be someone that didn't shoot a lot of threes, and that's improved the last couple of seasons. So he does offer, obviously, a little bit more outside than just really empty scoring. He gets to the free throw line very, very often and hits them at a high rate, which we love. He also, you know, went from the year before, obviously he was in fewer minutes, but 0.93s to 2.2. And down the stretch of the season, the last 2 months, he averaged 25.2 points per game. He did it whilst also averaging 4.1 rebounds and 3.5 assists, which is, look, it's not great, but it's better than it was. The defensive stats are absolutely putrid. And he doesn't turn the ball over a whole bunch, 2 turnovers a game. Like, it's not a great assist turnover ratio, but it's also not killing you. This is definitely a Mitch Casey biased pick, and I hope my honesty is worth something for you guys. I just don't see myself drafting him at pick 67 when I've got other options like the Zach LaVines, like a Jordan Poole, these other players. Bradley Beal is sometimes going around that sort of a mark. These other players that have done it before and have been proven to be solid scorers on decent teams. I just don't know if Cam Thomas is going to remain the number one scoring option on this team for the entire season. There could definitely be an argument to drafting him. I think he's going to be good early and then trading high, selling high, maybe a couple months into the season and see if you can get something back when he's putting up 25 points per game and people see that number and they're desperate for scoring and it's hard to come by. There's some merit to that. I just don't think he's very good. I don't think he's going to be good enough to hold down this spot when the Nets decide that, holy shit, we are bad, and this team led by Cam Thomas is not going to go anywhere. We're going to try something else. We saw that with Jordan Poole last year. Just because they've got a chucker on a bad team doesn't guarantee him to just get all the minutes, all the shots, all the time for the entire season. So that's my thoughts on Cam Thomas. Probably one of the guys on this list that I'm thinking that I could have egg on my face the most. So we'll see how it all turns out. Number 6 on this list is Colin Sexton, a very similar type of player to a Cam Thomas. I'm more confident that this is a bit of a bust. A lot of people, smart people, are saying that he's going to be the starter. And look, he very well could be, but I don't think it's locked in stone. I think it's someone who, again, I don't think he's going to be prioritized in Utah. He scores, but he has, I don't believe, ever been a top 100 player in 9 category. Not even close, really. And I know he's never... Oh, in 2020, 2021, he was 103rd. He did that playing 35 minutes a night in Cleveland. I think he's improved a little bit. I think he's improved in his efficiency. I think he's also improved in his playmaking to a small degree. But I think Keontae George is the point guard on this team. I think his primary role is still going to be to score. Like Cam Thomas, and even to a worse extent, he doesn't shoot a high volume of threes. His free throw volume, I don't think it's going to be as high. And the steals and blocks are equally as bad. I don't think he's going to score as much as Cam Thomas. So I think Colin Sexton, ranked at 78, is not something I'm going to be interested in. I think if he was going around pick 100, I'd be much more interested. I'd be much more interested to go at that spot. But I think a 78, there's still some decent options on the board. I would rather look after my points a bit earlier, get some more solid players, and at this range of the draft, be going after my rebounds, going after my threes and steals, picking off those last few assist players on the draft, then trying to catch up on my points with Colin Sexton at this spot and concede a lot of other values. Like He's a putrid rebounder. And at this point in the draft, it's kind of like your last chance to get those rebounds. So when you're grabbing someone who averages 2.6 rebounds and some people are grabbing those final centers off the board that can be relied upon, it's a big, big difference. And look, as much as he gets the raps for being a scorer, like I don't expect him to come out and drop 24 points a night, which he did in 2021 and still was the 103rd ranked player. Maybe he gets 19, maybe he gets 20 points. It's not that much better than the other guys around this spot that's worth conceding his other deficiencies, in my opinion. So at 78, I'm very happy to pass.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
On a Colin Sexton at this spot, and I do think he's a bit overrated at times. Let's talk about someone who's been traded. At number five, I've got Julius Randle, Yahoo rank of 65. I think this would be fine if he was still at the New York Knicks, but he is not. I think that he was the biggest loser when it came to that trade, being going over to Minnesota. Number one, because I think the minutes are going to come down, and they're not going to be playing Julius Randle ball, I don't think. Last season, He was the 129th ranked player. Now, the rankings, 9-cat rankings, especially for Julius Randle, have never really been very kind to him because he has deficiencies in his percentages. He doesn't get steals. He doesn't get blocks. He doesn't get, he gets high turnovers. So he's a points and rebounds and threes kind of a guy. But even when you try and punt and get stuff around it, I still don't think he presents this value. I think his shot attempts are going to go down. His minutes are going to go down. I can also see his rebounds coming down when you're playing next to someone like Rudy Gobert compared to a Hartenstein or a Mitchell Robinson. I think his blocks, which are already low, are going to be even lower. I don't think the assists are going to be there when you've got other guards like Mike Conley and Anthony Edwards, who are obviously running the show. There's just, I think, lots of things are just going to go down for Julius Randle, and he was already someone who you kind of had to force your way into getting the right build for him. And more often than not, I think there are other options at the 60s, 70s range that you can go instead of a Julius Randle. Like I said, with Colin Sexton and a Cam Thomas, I would prefer to build my points up in the top 50 to a really high level and then maybe concede the scoring that he's going to give to work on other parts of my fantasy team and other categories at that point than force a Julius Randle and take hits in a lot of other areas. So, especially with the trade and the uncertainty, like I said, he can't get better. And even how good he was last year, he wasn't this high. So even if he does the exact same thing, okay, at 65, and if you punt around it, it's fine. You're not losing things, but you've just got so much to fall, I believe, with Julius Randle. His game is not going to change. He's not going to suddenly become a different player. So I think that there's a decent chance that this is a very disappointing pick if you're taking him at 65. Similar kind of thing, but it hasn't happened yet. The trade rumors are still swirling. Brandon Ingram is at number four for me, Yahoo rank of 75. This guy is just not the best fantasy player. He, again, it kind of falls into the similar type of shape of player that I don't love to draft, especially in the mid rounds. Empty scoring, low defensive stats, low threes. Which always surprises me with someone like Brandon. Now, apparently he's been asked or talking about taking more threes. But again, last year he was the 84th ranked player by putting up 20.8 points, 5.1 rebounds, 5.7 assists, which all sound very solid. But 1.3 threes, 0.8 steals, 0.6 blocks. The percentages are very solid. But there was also concerns about his free throw percentage down the stretch. Last month, he averaged 75% from the field. The last 3 months, he was averaging 78%, which goes from a positive category to a negative category. And when he does get to the line over four times a game, it is it's enough to swing the value a fair bit in his in the negative direction. So Brandon Ingram, when there's so much uncertainty about how he fits in the New Orleans team, again, you're replacing Valanciunas with DeJounte Murray, effectively, or Dyson Daniels. Like, I think from a usage standpoint, that is worse for someone like a Brandon Ingram. It's very clear that they're going to deprioritize him. Someone like a Trey Murphy is more than likely, in my opinion, to supersede him. And he just doesn't do what this team needs. So I think his usage could take a hit. I think his minutes could take a slight hit as well. That's not even baking into account the risk of a trade. And I don't see a situation where he's traded somewhere where his situation is better than it was on the Pelicans last year, where he was still the number two or 2B guy. I think if he's traded anywhere, he's probably at best a third option on a solid team. And when you're not getting the defensive stats, the high volume threes, it's just not worth it. I think he's not someone I would draft until the mid to late 90s. And I'm probably just not going to get him because people are going to see the 20 points per game that he put up and draft him before then. But he just doesn't do enough for me. And I think, again, you're drafting him absolutely ahead of his ceiling, which was last year. And there's just a lot to fall down from that spot. So Brandon Ingram is someone I think is overrated. Anthony Edwards. This might be a controversial one. Number 3 most overrated player in fantasy hoops. He's ranked at 10. He's a good player. I really like Anthony Edwards. I actually think that he has a very strong chance over the next few years to be the best player in the NBA. And I truly actually believe that. But for fantasy, I don't think his game is as good for fantasy as it is in real life. He is not a point guard, so he doesn't get a high volume of assists. He is not a big man. He doesn't get a high volume of rebounds or blocks. He scores, which is good. 26 points per game last year. Could that become 28? Sure, it could. 2.4 threes. Could it get closer to high twos, threes? Maybe. 5.1 assists. Are we expecting that to improve? I don't think by much. 1.3 steals. How much is that going to improve? Maybe 0.1, 0.2. Maybe it gets to 1.5. Free throws. He actually improved his free throws a lot last year. He went from the year before 75.6% to 83.6%. That's really, really good. And a big key for his value if he can maintain that. Turnovers, 3.1. Could he become more efficient and turn the ball over less? Maybe a little bit. All that said, he was ranked 38th last year in 9 category rankings. He's better than that in minus ones, but not heaps. I think he was probably around like a late second, early third round player in minus one rankings. And I get the scoring is important, but there's a lot of other players in the first round that score really, really well and don't have the deficiencies that he has. So to me, he is definitely a late second, early third round player, in my opinion. And that just means I'm not going to get him. I think he's much better in a point scoring format. So if you're playing a points team, then this overratedness doesn't apply. But in category leagues at rank 10, I'm not drafting him. I don't know if you saw his name at all on my first round pairings video, which kind of gets you the sense that I don't think he fits very well in any particular build. I think he's just solid. I think he's good. In fantasy, it's not as good as he is in real life because he doesn't have the big rebounds, the big assists, the big blocks. His field goal percentage isn't carrying you. His free throw percentage is solid, but again, it's not Shai Gilgeous-Alexander good. It's not floating your team in terms of percentages, and it's always at a risk of dropping back to where it was previously. So I'd be nervous on relying that category staying where it was. I think he can improve from 38. I think it can maybe bring him up to, at best case scenario, like a top 20 player. But at rank 10, your first pick of the draft, I'm just not doing it. I'm probably not doing it in the second round in most situations either. And that just means I won't get Anthony Edwards. So when it comes to players that are going to return you first round value, I don't think Anthony Edwards has much of a shot this season. I'm not ruling out the possibility, but I just think that 9 times out of 10, you're going to be disappointed by drafting Anthony Edwards in the first round. And I think there are better options, a lot of better options to draft ahead of him. And just let someone else take him because at pick 10, there's a lot of bloody good options. And I just don't think Anthony Edwards cuts it. This guy is making back-to-back appearances in the bust list. And it is my own Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown. Why do we love Jaylen Brown so much in fantasy? I know why I love Jaylen Brown on my Celtics. He's underrated. He is... he can't dribble very well, but he does things for the Boston Celtics that I like. I think he's a very nice guy. I like his personality. He seems very smart. But last year, he was the 77th ranked player. 77th. The year before that, he was 47th. He was on this bust list last year, and I was right about it. With the addition of Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, his usage dropped away. He went from 26.6 points to 23 points per game. His rebounds dropped. His assists maintained. His threes dropped, however. The defensive stats were very similar. So, what's different? Okay, Kristaps Porzingis is out until December, January, perhaps. So, you might get top 40, top 50, top 55 Jaylen Brown for 2 or 3 months. Is that worth it? Is it worth it? when your fantasy playoffs, he's going to go back to... I don't see why it would change. We won the championship. The team did everything that they needed to. They dominated the regular season. It worked, right? And he's a year older. 28, I don't see massive just improvement. I think there's nothing but downside from this point. He's not similar to Anthony Edwards, but to a worse extent. He's not a big rebounder. He's not a big assists guy. He's a good defender, but he doesn't generate heaps of defensive stats. His most that he's ever averaged for steals is 1.2, which he did last season. He averaged 33.5 minutes. I think the Celtics will continue to keep it around that sort of level. His free throw percentage is poor on decent volume. That's never been something that's very good. I think it could improve. Like, it was down a little bit from the year before. So it could get better, but it's not going to be a positive. It's definitely still going to be a negative. There's just nothing that's going to really change for Jaylen Brown's game. There's no role change. Derek White has elevated. Jrue Holiday is still there. Jason Tatum is still the number one guy. He's just doing the same thing, and it's not a rank 47 player in category leagues. I just don't get it. I don't get why he gets boosted. Like, he doesn't score that much, like 23 points per game. Like, it's not that good. I really don't understand the ranking. I don't understand why he continually is just pigeonholed into those 40s range of rankings. It seems like he's there every year, and he's just not that. He's done that once or twice in his career. And even then, it wasn't that much better. And the worst seasons, he's been 60+. He's been 70+. He's been 75+. So if you've got maybe 5 spots of upside, 30 spots of downside, count me out. And the number one bust or overrated player for fantasy basketball category leagues is Paolo Banchero. Now, I don't mind Paolo. I wouldn't say I'm a big Paolo fan, but I don't mind him. I'm not a hater. It just doesn't make sense in category leagues to me. He is ranked 39th in category leagues, or on Yahoo, I should say. Now, I know he is not the 159th ranked player. I definitely do not believe that he was that last year. He did average 22.5 points, nearly 7 rebounds, 5 assists. But he is a big drain on your free throw percentage. He turns the ball over a lot. He doesn't shoot threes. He doesn't get many steals or blocks. I can deal with one or two things that are issues with a player. In a minus one rankings, it covers for that. If you're in a punt build, I've been happy to punt certain categories, maybe two or three. But I'm not in the business of punting 4 categories to get him to this spot, which what you have to do to get into this spot. If you're simply looking for a points, rebounds, and assists guy, cool. You can get Brandon Ingram. Like, this guy is... Like, how much... I had Brandon Ingram as a bust, and he was, the 4th ranked guy, and he's ranked at 75. Look at the stats between Brandon Ingram and Paolo Banchero. Paolo averages 2 more points, near just under 2 more rebounds, worse free throws, worse field goals, more turnovers. He's 40 spots higher. I know he's the number one guy on his team, and he's going to his 3rd season. I don't think the improvement is going to be all that different. He might shoot better from the free throw line. He might maybe get more scoring opportunities. Maybe he rebounds a bit more. I don't see the defensive stats coming. I don't see the threes going suddenly to 2.5 threes per game. I just don't see a direction where he's anywhere close to this. Even if you're punting certain categories, you can punt turnovers, free throws, and threes. And I think he's like a top 70 guy. And so for me, when you're ranking him at 39, this is really just for the points leaguers. If you're in a points league, sure, you can take him around this spot. But in category leagues, he's 40 to 50 spots worse than this. And I know that some of you are going to be like, oh, yeah. And I'm the guy. I'm the guy that talks about punting and building and not believing in rankings. But there's a limit, right? Like, again, he's not the 160th ranked player, but he's not the top 40 player. It's in the middle there somewhere. He's close to that 70 to 80 mark for me. And so I've got no business drafting him inside the top 50 in pretty much any situation. I think there's so many other players you could go for. Again, you don't have to be dropping, you don't have to be diving for players to score 20 points, because at this point in the draft, a lot of them still do. And a lot of them will do that Plus, they'll give you some good steals and threes and assists and all those other good things, blocks. They'll do that as well as other things. He will not. So he is my number one bust rated player, overrated player for fantasy in 2024-25. And he clears a lot. I think than most of these guys fairly comfortably. So that is my list. I will be doing some sleeper videos, but I'm going to be doing it a bit differently over the next couple of days or several days. I'm going to be going through and essentially looking at different parts of the draft. I'm going to be looking at the early rounds, pick 1 to 50, the middle rounds, pick 50 to 100, and then the late rounds, pick 100 and beyond. And basically just giving you guys players that I like, players that I think in certain situations are being underrated, undervalued, and the players that I seem to be gravitating towards. So it won't just be a list or a top 10 sleepers and, you know, undervalued players. I'm going to be looking at different sections of the draft because I think the criteria in different sections of the draft differs. So for that reason, I'm going to split up that way and just to give it a little bit different because a lot of people do similar kind of videos and podcasts this day. So I just wanted to spice it up for you guys. So look out for those videos over the next few days. And I will actually be doing a real life draft tomorrow or by the time this podcast comes out later today, but it will be released tomorrow. Where I'm going to be part of Team World versus on Team USA. It is an industry league, 16 teams. I am on the side of 8 analysts that are representing Team World versus 8 analysts who are representing Team USA. Now, we're all drafting our own team and playing individually, but essentially, if one of the teams from Team World wins, Team World all gets a prize, and if one of the teams from Team USA wins, Team USA wins. So it's kind of, you're playing for yourself, but you're also kind of hoping and playing for your teammates. There's a little bit of extra strategy involved with that one as well. So I'll talk you through a bit that tomorrow. It will be a 16-team head-to-head league real draft. So check that one out. Be mindful, however, that I will be maybe not talking quite as much and concentrating because there is going to be money on the line for that one. So check that one out when it comes out. And then the industry pickup league will be done the following weekend, the weekend before the NBA starts. It is an auction draft. It's going to be 5 a.m. in the morning my time, so I'm not 100% sure if I will be doing a recording of that draft. We'll wait and see. If you guys really, really want it, drop it down in the comments. Let me know if you want that draft to be recorded. I might need to whisper so I don't wake up my partner because the recording studio is not too far away from our bedroom. So we'll see. We'll see how I go on that one. But that is the content that is coming out between now and the end of the season. Make sure you guys do hit the old thumbs up. Let your friends know about the podcast. Share it. Subscribe to it. Give it 5 stars, and we'll see you guys next time where we're talking about undervalued players in the top 50. See you then. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.